In sports, there's not much rest for the defending NBA champion Boston Celtics. The Celtics, who were extended to a seventh game before eliminating the Chicago Bulls Saturday night, open their Eastern Division semifinal series tonight against the Orlando Magic. The Chicago Blackhawks are off tonight before taking on the Vancouver Canucks at the United Center tomorrow night. The best-of-seven playoff series is tied at one game apiece after the Hawks' 6-3 win in Canada over the weekend. The St. Louis Cardinals play host to the Philadelphia Phillies tonight in the first of two games. The Chicago Cubs will try for a season-high fourth straight victory when they face the San Francisco Giants at Wrigley Field tonight. And the Chicago White Sox open a two-game set against the Royals in Kansas City tonight. That's sports.
Today's broadcast is made possible in part by a grant from Strawberry Fields in downtown Urbana. Strawberry Fields Catering Department offers box lunches for professional meetings or casual lunchtime gatherings. Delivery is available at 239-5632. Strawberry Fields also offers an in-store nutritionist.
It's 2:41. This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and FM 90.9 HD2, streaming online at will.illinois.edu. We're broadcasting from Campbell Hall for public telecommunication, thanks to the generosity of Alice and Robert Campbell. So at what age can you safely leave your kids home alone? NPR's Allison Aubrey reports.
So if you look to the law for guidance, there are just a few states that set a minimum age for leaving kids home alone. Lieutenant Paul Starks of the Montgomery County, Maryland Police explains his state has a law.
The person has to be 8 years old or older to be left alone.
That's roughly second grade, which seems really young to many parents, and as it turns out, far from the norm. According to the findings of a University of Michigan poll, here's pediatrician Matt Davis.
We found, first of all, that parents said that 11 to 12 years old was an appropriate age for children to be home alone.
Ninth grader Brian Ott commutes on the D.C. Metro from his school to home in the afternoons. He says he was about 12 when his mom let him try the latchkey experiment.
It'd be in the afternoon. My mom came home around like 5:36, so it wasn't really for that long. It wasn't like till 9 at night. I didn't have to like feed myself dinner or anything.
And Brian says his parents set some clear ground rules to keep him on track. Always a phone call to his mom when he arrived home. No friends allowed in the house when his parents weren't there. And he had to finish homework before playing video games or watching TV. So how does his mom, Margie Ott, gauge whether he can handle this freedom and complete his schoolwork?
I know on the basis of his grades that he is. So if his grades were going down, I'd have to take some of that away.
She says Brian didn't go from structured aftercare to afternoons alone all at once. She was really anxious about it and talked to lots of parents of his friends who felt nervous too, even though they knew at some point it was inevitable. Her strategy was to phase in time alone, beginning with just one afternoon a week. She also set up a few trust but verify measures in the house, such as setting passcodes on the home computers with internet access.
I did catch him once changing the password, and I changed it back. You know, when he went on Facebook, I said, okay, you can go on Facebook, but you have to let me be your friend.
Child development experts say Ott is doing many of the right things. She's keeping open lines of communication with her son, clearly articulating her expectations, and also realizing that part of an adolescent's job is to push back. William Coleman is a pediatrician at the Center for Development and Learning at the University of North Carolina. He says the conundrum for many parents is that they want to trust their kids to be home alone, yet many recall from their own teen years that inevitable tug towards the forbidden.
Looking for trouble and exploring and pushing boundaries. That's normal.
But Coleman says it's important for parents to see that there's a lot of variability among kids. Some will push the boundaries in reckless, dangerous ways. Others will try more harmless revolts, such as changing computer passcodes. Either way, Coleman says the developing brain tends to get a little reward for risky business.
Getting that rush of adrenaline and then talking about it to your friend. Boy, do you know what I did last night when Mom was out?
Coleman says the point he's trying to make here is that there's no one right age to begin leaving your tween or teen home alone. The question parents should ask themselves is, where's my kid on that scale of risk-taking and responsibility? The University of Michigan's Matt Davis says his advice for parents is to start with some trial runs for brief amounts of time.
Let's say half an hour or an hour at most, where they may leave their kids home alone, and then come back and debrief about it and see whether there were particular concerns or safety issues that came up.
Simple steps, such as knowing neighbors' phone numbers and reviewing emergency procedures, are important. And it's also good for parents to establish logical consequences for good and bad behavior in their absence. Ninth grader Brian Ott says the more he shows his mom that he can do it, the more freedom she gives him.
Because when I started staying home alone, I wasn't allowed to leave until my mom got home. Now I can if I tell her, Mom, I'm going to be out of the house.
Margiot says the line she routinely finds herself saying to Brian is,
I want to be part of your life. I don't want to control your life, but I want to know what's going on.
Ott says now that she's finally comfortable with Brian staying home alone, she's got to start all over again. Her fifth grader is now begging to do it too. Allison Aubrey, NPR News.
If moon was cookie, me think me would be happiest monster you ever see. Me put on a spacesuit, then up through the night. Me ride in a rocket to go take a bite.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Cookie Monster helps us make our way into this next segment of the show. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. My guest is Dave Leake of Parkland College in Champaign. He's an associate professor of physics and astronomy at Parkland, as well as the coordinator of the college's Starkle Planetarium. And he joins me this afternoon to tell us about a new show at the Starkle Planetarium. It's called Bad Astronomy. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Celeste, and thanks for the Cookie Monster meeting, too. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I love the Cookie Monster. So what's Bad Astronomy all about?
It's an interesting title, isn't it?
Yeah.
What the show is something we jumped at just because it's something I know I believe a lot in, and our show producer really does like it a lot, too, is the whole idea of pseudoscience. There's so much of it out there these days, and this may be a bit harsh, but I know a lot of us maybe have lost our critical eye, where we tend to believe just about anything, especially with a lot of the claims made on some of these television shows. We need to kind of step back and say, wait a minute, where's the evidence that surrounds this? And Bad Astronomy actually talks about four basic things. One being UFOs, another is astrology, or telling your fortune by the stars, and third section is on the supposed moon hoax about did we really land on the moon or not, and the last one is the whole idea of junk science in the movies.
Hmm. Is that moon hoax thing, that Apollo hoax thing, is that still out there?
Yeah, it's amazing. In classes, you'll hear that come up where somebody doubts that we really landed on the moon. And what's interesting to me, I'll show my age here a little bit, is back in the day, there was a movie called Capricorn 1 that came out about them faking the human landing on Mars in a sound studio. And then you didn't hear anything after that until, let's just say, another television network came up with a show about the moon hoax that had some people supposedly with some credentials making claims, but every one of the claims can be debunked.
Mm. So when can we see Bad Astronomy?
Well, it opens this coming weekend, May 8th and 9th, and for the whole month of May, it will be showing Friday and Saturday night at 8 p.m. at the Starkle Planetarium at Parkland. And in June and July, we'll still be showing it, but since our attendance usually goes down just a little bit, we reduce our schedule, so we'll be just doing Friday nights at 8 in the months of June and July.
Can we get a group together to come out and see it?
Sure, yeah. We'd love to have a group come out. We have 140 seats, so we can handle quite a few people, and I'm really looking forward to the opening. Our show producer, Waylena McCulley, has been working very hard on the show, and there's a lot of video in it and still images and, of course, the stars themselves.
Okay. What's the cost of admission?
Adults are $4, and students, seniors, and children under 12 are just $3. And we do have a 7 o'clock show ahead of it, and if you want to see the 7 and the 8, there's actually a doubleheader discount where if you pay for the 7, you get the second show half price.
Mm. What's the 7 o'clock show?
On Friday nights, it's our live show, Prairie Skies, which is just, it's be one of us doing the talking, giving you a tour. If you went out and looked at the sky, what else could you see? Show where the planets are in current constellations. It's more the traditional planetarium show. And then we have a children's feature Saturday at 7, and I believe I'm embarrassed. I should know this, but we're switching sometime from Rusty Rocket's Last Blast to Larry Cat in Space. I don't think that happens till June, though. I think we still got Rusty Rocket going on.
Okay. Well, Larry Cat in Space sounds like fun. He
stows
away in his master's baggage and becomes the first cat on the moon. All right.
Yes, yes.
Well, maybe you'd take Cookie Monster with him.
That's right. That's right.
So what might we keep an eye out for in the sky here in early May?
Well, probably the main thing, besides the moon zipping around once in its orbit once a month, is the planet Saturn is the main thing that's out there. The rest of the planets are really situated in the morning sky, so you got to keep some early hours in order to see those. But Saturn's up there, fairly easy to see. It's not the brightest thing in the sky, but I tell people if you can look not straight up, but close to straight up, you'll find the Big Dipper, and Saturn is the brightest thing that's below the Big Dipper, as if you poked a hole in it and let the water drain out. So that's probably the main thing for this particular month.
Okay. Last month in April, you wrote a letter to the editor of the News Gazette, drawing our attention to the fact that this year, 2009, is the International Year of Astronomy, and that the Champaign-Urbana Astronomical Society is marking the occasion with a tour of parks. What are you doing?
Well, what we want to do is to get as many people as possible to look through a telescope as we can. And it's kind of an ambitious goal, but we're trying that through the neighborhood parks, and both the Urbana and Champaign Park districts have been wonderful to work with. And we have a schedule where what we will do is take telescopes to the parks, and most of the we said big neighborhood parks, something like Dodds Park, where it's got the softball fields. It's probably not real suited to that because you're not going to get people just walking to that.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the larger neighborhood parks where we could actually bring a vehicle in and unload a couple of telescopes, and we're just hoping people will just kind of walk out from their homes and come and take a look at the sky, especially if you've never done it before.
Yeah.
We're going to be at, again, weather permitting. That's the only bad thing, isn't
it? Yeah.
Slave to Illinois weather, but tonight we'll be at Morrissey Park in Champaign, and then May 17th we'll be at Hessel, and May 26th we'll be at Millage in the middle of the Cherry Hill subdivision, and then after that we've got Meadowbrook Park as well.
Okay, and there's information, there's a complete schedule on the Champaign-Urbana Astronomical Society webpage, and that's cuas.org.
That's right, and then our own planetarium webpage, which is linked off of parkland.edu, I've got a little logo for the International Year of Astronomy, and if you click on that, it's got the whole schedule and a number of other activities going on.
Okay, why is 2009 the International Year of Astronomy?
Well, what I like to tell the kids, I ask them if they've ever watched that show CSI, and many of them have. And, of course, you can't pin a crime on somebody unless you have some evidence. And the evidence that the Earth actually does move, it rotates and revolves around the sun, started coming in about 400 years ago with Galileo and the telescope. And Galileo didn't invent the telescope, nor was he really the first person to start watching the sky with it, but he was the first to actually start writing down his observations where he could compare, say, a night this month to something last month, and started to actually make some do some good science.
Okay. So, well, happy International Year of Astronomy.
And thank you so much.
And thanks for talking with me this afternoon. And we've got to get you and Ed Kieser back here in the studio and do another edition of Sky Guys one of these days.
I always look forward to those.
Okay. Well, take care, Dave.
Thank you, Celeste.
Dave Leek of Parkland College in Champaign. He is the coordinator of the college's Starkel Planetarium. He's also an associate professor of physics and astronomy at Parkland College. And he was with us this afternoon to tell us about the new show at the Starkel Planetarium. It's called Bad Astronomy. And, of course, you can find out more about the show and the planetarium at www.parkland.edu/planetarium.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you. Song, let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words,
the Astronomical Society, the Champaign-Urbana Astronomical Society, will be at Morrissey Park this evening in Champaign, weather permitting, from 8:30 to 10:30 with some telescopes. And you can take a look at what's out there in the sky this evening. And the forecast for Champaign-Urbana, let's quickly go to that tonight. Partly cloudy, the low 50. We'll keep our fingers crossed then for the telescope viewing session tonight in Morrissey Park in Champaign.
Earth and Sky,
Monday, May 4th.